Welcome back, Sources from the Sofa podcast. We have a cool podcast for you today. We recorded late last night, right after the Thursday night football game. Jeez, what an ugly game. 6-3, no points scored. It is what it is. It was a classic Thursday night game. So we talk a little bit about that. We also covered the Christmas games. My Steelers, 3 in a row. I'm not a happy guy. It's pretty pissed off. Not what I want to see on Jesus' birthday. But the Chiefs, you got to give it to them. I've been hating them all year. They haven't cracked my top 3 power rankings at all. But Hollywood Brown's back. The game piece is back. And Mahomes, he's happier than a pig in shit. This guy, they look really good. Can they win a third Super Bowl in a row? I don't know. My bet is on the field. Still got the Bills, Ravens. They just destroyed the Texans on Christmas. I think Texans are already on vacation, to be honest with you. Lamar Jackson, the running game. Tucker's starting to kick field goals again. They got everything to contend for a Super Bowl. So we kind of delve into that. Recap a little NBA basketball. Everyone had killer ratings for Christmas. So not sure what everyone was doing. At home, hanging out with family, drinking. But they were definitely watching some basketball. Really fun games. As well as Netflix. Just destroying viewership worldwide. 25 million plus. Pretty impressive. Some glitches. You know, but a lot better than that Tyson-Paul fight, for sure. Then it's Thursday night, so we do some lines. NFL lines, overs, unders, bets, sides to take. The guys make fun of me for stay-away games. I've been infamous all year round for that, but we do have a few of those. But if you're leaning on something, if you want to do like a parlay, you know, something to take, we definitely got some stuff for you. For this week 17 in the NFL, we cover the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night games of what's left for this week. And then we just kind of shoot the shit at the end of the podcast talking about college football. Jason's going to the Holiday Bowl. So that should be fun. Whereas, you know, the bowl games are good now. We got good competitive teams and we'll enjoy it this weekend before me and the guys jump into it for the college football quarterfinals and beyond on Monday night after Monday night football. So don't go away. Get your money out. Get your FanDuel, DraftKings. Place those bets. We got it for you. Source from the Sofa. Come up next. Thursday night, almost 11 o'clock at night, a few hours after that horrific Thursday night football game, Seahawks versus the Chicago Bears. Caleb's interception streak comes to an end, 354 passes. It was a good reason, you know, trying to get something going to possibly get an upset and the win and ruin the Seahawks playoff chances. But Seahawks win 9-7. Bears lose again, 4-12. At one point, they were what? 4-1?
4-2.
4-2. And now they're 4-12. I didn't catch all the game. I rewatched the highlights. It looked like it was like a lot of dink and dunks. They're moving it okay, but there was just no points. I know you guys probably watched that game in more detail than I did. You guys want to talk about it? Jason? Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
You just wanted to laugh. That's all it was right there. Yeah, it was a terrible Thursday night game from the vintage NFL Thursday night collection, really. Offensively, both teams could do nothing. Some good running from the Seahawks in the first half.
And Swift, too, right?
Swift was, I mean, he had a run or two, but I mean, I think a screen pass was probably his biggest play of the game that they had, but it was typical Swift, which Aaron and I have been railing around all season, where he just wants to bounce everything offside and then it goes for like a 1 yard gain. So the biggest plays were basically Caleb under duress, rolling out left or right, chucking the ball downfield, had a good play late to Adunze, who was coming back to the ball. But overall, there was just nothing the Bears were getting done offensively. The offensive line gave up, was it 6-7 sacks? Caleb's been sacked over 60 times in the season.
What's the record? He's getting pretty close, right?
I think it's 70-something from Carr back in the day when he was with the Texans. So, I mean, it's close.
That was ugly.
Caleb's at 67 right now.
67 sacks.
I believe Carr was 72, 73, somewhere up there, yeah. Got to remember, that was only 16-game schedule, too.
Yeah, so he could break it next week with the Packers, but we'll see. Overall, I think Caleb just wants the season to be over with. The rest of the Bears' offense, you know, the blocking up front for the offensive line was not great, but at a lot of times, Caleb was taking way too long with the ball. So there was some of it that wasn't the offensive line's fault. A lot of dink and ducks, as you kind of mentioned. Everything was like these quick screens and, you know, that were somewhat effective, but then the Seahawks were catching on to it. You know, the biggest play the Bears had, or it was probably one of Caleb's best plays of the year, was called back for a holding call. He was rolling out left, really turned his body sideways, chucked the ball like 30 yards for what would have been a touchdown to Odunze. So
that get called back, right?
They got called back for a hold, which it was, but those are the flashes you see with Caleb that you're, you know, excited for as a Bears fan. But
yeah,
he's seeing ghosts in the pocket to a degree, because, you know, any blitz, the offensive line may or may not be able to pick it up, and he just doesn't have the clean pocket, but nor the confidence really at this point to, like, what routes are they running to hit somebody from an open receiver. So all in all, it was a very boring game. The Bears felt like they had a chance, but, you know, is what it is. 10 straight losses, top 10 draft pick now.
I just looked it up. David Carr's record setting sack mark is 76 sacks in 2002.
So, yeah, Caleb's not going to catch
that. He's not going to get it. That's a lot, but
he's got to get 9 sacks to tie that the Packers do.
I don't want to see him catch it. If it was like 70, I'd be rooting for it, but that's for everyone's health and embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, what Jason said, I mean, some of the sacks throughout the year have been on Caleb just holding the ball too long.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Bears
offense was pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Quick screen out to the wide receiver every third or fourth play.
Yep.
Try to run it outside and punt. That's the Bears offense. I thought the highlight of the game was when they were going out to punt. They were showing a guy in the crowd, and he literally was just at the top of his lungs yelling MVP for the punter when the punter came on the field. I mean, and that was a classic funny point right there, where everybody was just chanting with him MVP as the punter came on, because 50-yard punt is the best play the Bears had for the night. I mean,
probably the MVP, but I guess, like, if there's like a bright spot, the defense held the team to only 6 points, got 3 sacks. That's the first time they've done that in a while. And they're solid.
They did. The defense looked good. It was a conditions thing too. It was a misty rain. Then the rain got a little harder, so it was hard, you know, to get offense up and down the field under those conditions. But, you know, this defense was early on in the season a top 5 defense.
Yeah.
After Eberflus, you know, was let go, the defense got really bad the past month or so. So, I mean, there's elements to the defense. The biggest criticism for the Bears defense for me and a lot of analysts is the defensive line really has no size up the middle. It is a small defensive line. You have Sweat really from a pass rushing standpoint, but no one else that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So, but yeah, the defense has something there, and there's a few parts they can add in the offseason of the defensive line to make it better. But, you know, if they could figure anything out on offense. But the biggest thing for me in the game was the fourth quarter and really post game watching on Amazon is just the loud chants of sell the team.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that.
So literally, I think sell the team is just the chant of all Chicago sports at this point, because it is just a city of spoiled inheritance owners who aren't independent wealthy, that don't invest in a team that's a top 3 media market, and they just pinch pennies. And it's exactly what the McCaskey family is. It's exactly who Jerry Reinsdorf is. They think the only person is the Cubs owner, but even there's a ton of frustrations with the Cubs fan base.
Spending a lot of money either, and they have lots of money. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing more for the exterior, the exterior of Wrigleyville and stuff like that, to make money off of that versus investing in the team. So really, sell the team is the Chicago sports fan base chant, and it's no stranger to the Bears right now. There was some pretty frustrated Caleb Williams in the post-game press conference, because this frustration has been before him. But you mentioned the sack record you're going for, Caleb. but for Caleb. However, Caleb is number five all time in Bears passing yards in a season right now. So he could get up. If he gets over 500 yards this weekend, he could be the number one Bears passer of all time in his rookie season. So for all the negatives, if you want to talk about Caleb, again, I said it and everyone laughed at me because people don't watch the Bears as much as I do and maybe some of the other Chicago people. This is the best quarterback in Bears history. So all the negatives you got about him, you don't realize how bad every quarterback has been for the Bears in their 100-plus years as a franchise.
I'm a big Jay Cutler fan, so until he takes the team to a championship, I'm going to stick with Cutler as the best Bears quarterback.
Well, Jay Cutler never took the Bears to a championship. He got to the NFC Championship. That's what I meant. So yeah. Rex Grossman took the Bears to the Super Bowl. So you could say Grossman's the best quarterback of this kind of modern era at this point. So
hey, Grossman's an enigma, man.
Grossman was chucking down cold. He was chucking down the field to hit Bernard Berrien or hoping for a pass interference to get the ball down there. That was the Rex Grossman offense. You know, you loved it at the time.
It's so frustrating.
I was a big Jay Cutler fan too. There was a vibe there with him, and yeah, it was probably
he was on the league.
Yeah,
he's vibing. It was cool guy. It was, looks like it he was smoked cigarettes short, on the field.
It was cut short during the Lovie Smith era, but overall, yeah, there's a ton of potential in the Bears' offense. It's super frustrating. Feel all sorry right for Caleb and a lot of these guys in the offense, but. You know, yeah, we'll see. We'll have more debate on the head coach later on.
Yeah, I think someone's had a funny comment about him. Like, Caleb always looks like a damsel in distress. He's like auditioning for some Disney princess movie. And it's really funny, just all the looks post game and all that stuff that he does. Before we move on and we talk about the other Christmas games, any takeaways from the Seahawks?
I mean, their defense, good performance by their defense, and they got the running game going, something they haven't been able to get going all year. 122 yards, I believe they had rushing after 59 last week, their lowest or fourth lowest total against the Vikings. So, I mean, for Seattle, got the win. You're rooting for Arizona this weekend.
Yeah. And they play against LA, right? Next week?
Play the Rams here in SoFi following Sunday coming up.
For the West? For the NFC West?
Not necessarily for the West. A lot has to go versus strength of victory. Wow. So I believe they need the Jets somehow to beat the Bills as part of that scheduling.
I don't know. It's possible. It's the NFL. Who knows? We've seen weird shit. Week 17. Week 18 now, right?
No, we're
17 still.
Yeah. 17.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when it used to be a week 17.
Yeah.
So about Christmas real quick, I fucking hate it. I'm just going to say I fucking hate it. We shouldn't have Christmas games, NFL games on Christmas. It's bullshit. All right. It was a little too much. Basketball had some great matchups. It was fun. They messed up by not doing any Christmas unis. You know, I think Boston had some like cool socks to make it all Christmassy. But besides that, though, I say, well, let's nix it. Just leave the Christmas Day games to the NBA. Steelers, they've looked like dog shit. They haven't shut up for three games now. Three games! Nothing. At least Pickens back. I don't know. Ravens, Texans, that was trash. It was just trash. And Thursday night game, now we have Saturday games, then Sunday, and then another Monday night game. I'm not happy with the schedule right now.
Well, you might not be, but the NFL is. Netflix released. They had 24 million people across both of those games.
Yeah, I know.
And the NBA averaged 5 million. So I was debating with a couple of my friends right now who are NBA, you know, love the NBA and all these are different things, but I don't care what you say. You know, you put some crap NFL games on a Christmas day, short rest, you know, not entertaining at all. 24 or 25 million people watching. Netflix is probably happy. The NFL is happy. The NBA, I think, I mean, you guys may have watched those games. I don't watch a second of it, but I was getting texts left and right that these were some of the best NBA games they've had of the season. Yeah, I think they got a five-year high in NBA ratings this year. So, hey, bright spot for the NBA because it's been down overall in this first couple months of the season. But at the same time, when the NFL wants to go into somewhere, they're going to put everybody else down. So they're going to own what they want to own.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I don't mind games on the NFL on Christmas Day. I just don't want to see if it's on a Christmas falls on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Just play your typical Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That way we're not having like the Steelers, Chiefs playing, you know, three games in 11 days. Obviously the Steelers look shot.
They look done. I think they might have peaked.
four weeks ago.
For them, it's good that they get somewhat of a mini bye. You know, you're off the rest of this week, and then they get the last game of the season against the Bengals.
That's a tough out.
So, I mean, depending on how the Steelers finish here, maybe they win the division. Maybe they're going to Houston. Maybe they're going back to Baltimore. We'll see what the Chargers and Broncos do here the final couple games. But yeah, like Jason said, I mean, 25 million Netflix for each game. I think Netflix had said they got up to 65 million that at least tuned in for a minute or two for the games there, the NFL. NBA ratings up, I think 84% they said compared to last year in Christmas. I did watch a little bit of the games, some of them.
It was a good slate of games. They're really good.
Yeah, I mean, they all of them were close. I mean, they turned out to be close. I mean, T-Wolves were up 28 and then miraculously...
They almost gave it away.
They almost gave it away, and that got entertaining. Watch that. Lakers game was entertaining.
Yep.
LeBron trying to claim Christmas is the NBA day.
Yeah, they showed a stat that like he's won the most Christmas Day games. 11 now.
In NBA history, too. 11. Christmas Day.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, this guy's been playing for 20 fucking years. Finally got 11 wins. Okay. I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think they also mentioned the NBA ratings were also up because all the games were on ABC versus, I believe, some were on ESPN and TNT last year. So that may have helped because TNT, obviously, their ratings didn't do good. If you looked at the college football playoff game, TNT ratings were like 6-7 million compared to the ABC playoff games that were like 15 million. So
I don't know about you guys. I have like this nostalgia about watching NBA games on like NBC. I really miss that.
Well, it's coming back next year.
Yeah, I know.
You get it next year. You get John Tesh and Roundball Rock back, man. That'll take it back to the 90s right there.
It's kind of cool, actually. Any takeaways from, obviously, so the Chiefs, they got Hollywood Brown back. Things are starting to fall in place. They looked really good. I'm not sure if it was more like the Steelers look like shit, and they're just, like, underperforming. Tomlin was not happy, but I hate to say it. It was a nice win for the Chiefs. And then the Texans didn't even show up, dude.
No, the Texans have not looked good all year. They're going to win this division, but you want to talk about declines and CJ Stroud and his sophomore slump right now. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but
I blame Aaron for talking me into the Texans on a Super Bowl.
You could have, but that's been one of the most notable declines for all the hate Caleb Williams has got, as we talked to him earlier, since the Texans played the Bears in like whatever week two or one of that, Caleb's actually had better stats than CJ Stroud.
This guy.
I'm just telling you how it is for all this type of stuff.
This guy will find the stats.
I will find the stats, the deep dark secrets of Bears Twitter.
Find the stats, dude.
I will find the back.
That's why you always got to watch the tape in the games at the end of the day. Stats do lie sometimes.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Texans, they now lost Tank Dell probably for this year and next year potentially. So that's a huge
Lions
loss.
So many entries. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge loss for them. Joe Mixon, you know, haven't been able to get him going, you know, for a majority of the season. They're likely just going to be an early exit in the playoff. They're probably going to be maybe the worst team in the AFC playoff picture when it's all said and done. Because
the Texans,
I think those AFC West teams are probably, you know, defensively and, you know, a little more put together offensively could give them a run for it. They did not look good at all. The Chiefs, going back to that, I think a little bit with your Steelers are a little bit in the slide, but this was the stretch of games that the Chiefs, you know, we talked about, and I thought, hey, they might regress to the mean. It's going to be some tough games. They're going to have a lot of games in a few days. Now, yeah, they got better, and they've looked better. They clinched the number one overall seed. Now the AFC playoffs go through Kansas City. So Buffalo was looking like that hot team that potentially was going to be, hey, this is how they get past the hurdle. You know, they got to slay Mahomes in the playoffs. But they're going to have to do it on the road now. So it'll be the ultimate test for Josh Allen.
I believe in him.
I do too. NFL MVP likely this year. And when you're talking about, hey, you're building the resume and the, you know, the myth of your career for a Josh Allen, like this is when like Manning had to beat Brady. It was all those years where Brady kept winning. Manning finally got to him in the AFC championship game, ended up winning the Super Bowl. You know, this might be the Allen's moment. Like, hey, I need to defeat Mahomes in Arrowhead, and then get to his moment in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he spoke really quickly about Josh Allen for MVP. He was 9-1 odd favorites last week, and it's shrunken down to like +350 or whatever. Lamar really, he has like one more primetime game
Allen has no more. Lamar killed it, passed Michael Vick for most rushing yards for a quarterback. Two touchdowns, 168 yards passing. Derrick Henry killed it again. Like, I thought Allen sealed it, but I think Jackson could take it away. His stats are really good for the year.
Jackson's stats are better.
Yeah.
Than Allen's.
Overall.
Yeah. I mean, his stats are better overall. But his numbers Allen are better. His numbers are better this year than last year when he won MVP.
If you're going by they're
obviously not going to get the one seed. It looks like they're going to get the three seed. You guys mentioned Buffalo going through to Kansas City. I think Baltimore is a real team here.
Yeah.
Baltimore, they beat the crap out of Buffalo back in week 4, week 5, whatever it was. They're going to meet again. It looks like that's a 2-3 matchup.
They're definitely tougher.
And I think Baltimore, kind of a sense of relief that they're not the top seed, the top dog. The pressure's not on them. I mean, there's going to be pressure if they go into the playoffs, whether it's where they're at. But they're not playing at home. This might be a relief for them. And the Lamar-Derrick Henry combo just seems different on offense this year compared to other years. They didn't really have that run game like they do now.
They got a killer now. And they ended defense, with the Browns.
That defense has figured it out ever since they moved Jason's guy, Kyle Hamilton, from Notre Dame to play deep safety. The pass defense, which was terrible, is good now.
Interesting.
They're good against the ground game. And then our boy, Tucker, since the bye, has not missed a field goal. I think Baltimore now is the biggest threat to KC going forward. But, the Chiefs definitely look good. We'll see what they do the last game of the year. They don't need to play any of their starters. Obviously, the Chris Jones injury is something to keep an eye on with that calf strain.
Steelers had a 2-game lead. They shat the bed, lost 3 in a row. I didn't think that would happen. I'm getting, like, weird vibes from that last Roethlisberger year. They don't control their own destiny anymore. They have to win and hope for other things to happen. Bengals are on fire. Bengals still have a chance to make the playoffs as well, which is totally plausible when you break everything down. So
I think where the Bengals are really going to be hurting is if they do beat Denver on Saturday.
I think they do.
Denver gets Kansas City at home, and the Chiefs have nothing to play for. So you're not going to get Mahomes the whole game, and all they have to do is win that game. Denver are tie, and they're in the playoff.
Really?
Yeah. Cincinnati does win this week and then against your Steelers, and the Steelers are probably obviously going to try to win that game to stay at least for the division or stay in that 5 seed to go to Houston, because if not, they'll end up going back to Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm rooting for my Steelers, but
to Aaron's point, when you're looking at Kansas City, even though it's a division game in the playoffs, are you letting in Joe Burrow in that offense, or are you letting in a rookie quarterback in Denver into the playoffs? You know, they get to kind of decide. I think it's scary for the Bengals to make the playoffs of what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase could do. That's risky for, you know, anything can happen in one game, you know, when you bring them up. So
they got like that.
I agree. I mean, if you're Buffalo, you don't want to see Joe Burrow. You saw what he did 2 years ago there.
They got that New York Giants vibe with Eli Manning, those 2 years that they had deep runs, you know.
But their defense is possible. Their defense is so terrible compared to the Giants.
it's the opposite. It wasn't Eli. It was Eli getting a couple late big throws, but the defense was keeping them in those. I want to go back to the Baltimore stuff. Just to Aaron had a lot of good analysis there, but I want to focus on the Justin Tucker aspect of things, because that is where there's always those seeds set throughout the year when you're watching a kicker for a contending team that misses some of these kicks throughout the year. And it's always that feeling like in the playoffs, it's going to cost them the season. I don't want to bring it back to the Bears, but when the Bears had their one playoff run, it was Cody Parkey the entire year hitting the uprights. And what had happened in the playoffs? Hit the uprights. You know, time and time again, you get a shaky kicker with a really good team. That could be a thing. And Tucker's been automatic for them. It's been, you know, the difference in Baltimore and some of these runs in the games in the playoffs. So him setting the ship right since the bye week, I think, is probably one of the biggest things they've talked through, because that's a competitive advantage that a lot of teams don't have. And when you have an automatic from a kicker who can hit stuff from probably 55 and in bad weather, that's a huge plus for the offense.
Yeah. I mean, Harbaugh stuck with them. There was talks about bringing another kicker in, maybe sending him down. He really struggled that last game they lost against Philly, but he went in the bye week. He said he was going to figure it out. He's 5 for 5 field goal since. I think 2 or 3 of those have been 50-plus yarders. I think Baltimore believes in Tucker. I think Tucker now, like Jason just said, he's got his confidence back. He believes in himself. And Tucker's going to be a difference in the playoff in a positive way. He's going to win a game, maybe two, for these guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And the Chiefs, we're not really talking about it, but Buckner's back. He hasn't looked good since he came back from that meniscus tear. So maybe a guy that was automatic from the injury isn't, ends up costing them. I think kicking down the stretch, Tucker might be surprisingly the most valuable player kicking-wise going forward, because I don't trust Bass with Buffalo, and Buckner now, KC's looked shaky since that meniscus tear.
All right, you guys ready to take a quick break, go do some lines?
Let's do it. Yeah, take a break. I said it like that. Why not?
Why not? It's Christmas.
That sounds great.
All right, we'll be back. It's Thursday night. I think we only have one more of these of us doing NFL lines. Week 17. We've already had three games in the books, three on Saturday, a few on Sunday. And is this our last Monday night game coming up?
Yes.
Yep. Detroit Lions and San Francisco 49ers. Imagine, like, I had this game circled as, like, it's going to be an epic game. Could be, like, a NFC championship preview. Who knows? Lions might be resting everybody. San Francisco's just maybe fighting for, like, some pride, right? Tickets are still kind of pricey, though, for that one. Let's start off, though. The Los Angeles Chargers, -4 against the New England Patriots. I'm watching this game. Drake May. Chargers need the win. I just like watching Drake May. Over and under 42.5. Who you guys got? Aaron, go ahead.
Chargers -4. Like you said, Rome, they need to get a victory here against the Patriots. Drake May's look good. They took Buffalo. They played Buffalo pretty tough at Buffalo this last weekend. 24-21 loss. Drake May with a mistake there with a backwards pass that led to a recovery touchdown there for Buffalo. But Chargers coming off that last Thursday night victory a week ago from today, rested even though they're traveling to New England. I like the Chargers here, -4. Harbaugh and those guys will be focused. They know the mission. They know they got to get one more win to for sure get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
A chance at the 5 seed given how the Steelers have slipped up. That leads you to Houston.
No shit.
You don't want to be going back to, even though it'd be great, Harbaugh Bowl 4 in the playoff. You want to avoid Baltimore.
Yeah.
A win here sets up a potential game later with Kansas City, divisional game that you're used to playing these guys tough. So a big game for the Chargers. I think Harbaugh will be focused. I like the Chargers -4.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Aaron. A little more to play for. Obviously, a lot more to play for the Chargers. Don't love the West Coast to East Coast in an early Saturday game. There's a little bit there. But last week, the Patriots really kind of played above where they were at, made me look foolish because I took the Bills with that huge spread because I was just feeling that Josh Allen magic, and it just didn't come through. But I think the Chargers is just a significantly better team, and you know, 4.5, depending what you're looking at, just doesn't seem like a lot of points. And there's a ton to play for the Chargers, like Aaron's talking about. When you look at that seeding and what's going to be the easiest path, Harbaugh has been great this year for the Chargers. We'll go Chargers -4.
Nice. I don't know what to think of this game, but I don't feel confident with the 4. I think it's a little much. I got Chargers money line. I think it'd be a nice play for the parlay. Drake May is going to be balling out. It's at home. They're vibing really nicely. They need to lose, though, to keep some draft picks and maybe get their coach fired. I doubt that happens, but Denver Broncos at Cincy, -3.5 favorites, over and under 49.5.
Yeah, I mean, Bengals here, like you said earlier, Rome, they need to keep winning to get in to have a chance at the playoffs. Broncos, too, need a victory.
They too.
I'm going to take the Bengals here, 3.5. Every time I've taken the Bengals this year, especially at home, they've screwed me. But I just feel like this team knows, like, it's December playoff football. They know they need wins. They kind of step up to another level. Bo Nix has kind of struggled here the last 2 weeks. I know that Bengals defense isn't great, but they have been getting turnovers. So I'm going to stick with that theme. They'll get a couple turnovers here, and Burrow has a big game. Broncos do like to blitz a lot and play man-to-man. That's a recipe for disaster against the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals 3.5 here.
It might be a rainy day game as well. They're predicting heavy rains for that. So,
yeah, I'm gonna agree with Aaron on this as well. Bengals riding a 3-game winning streak. They've beaten their last three opponents by 7 or more in those games. Aaron talked about them not being great at home. That was early in the season. Last three home games, they've won 2 out of 3, including last week versus Cleveland. Aaron already mentioned Bo Nix shaky the last couple starts. In a shootout in this kind of thing, if it turns into that, now Rome, you're talking weather coming into it.
Yeah,
the Bengals can still put up points. I don't know if Bo Nix is able to keep pace with what the Bengals offense can do. I'll take the Bengals as well.
Yeah, I'm still taking Superman, Joe Burrow, or AKA Batman, him buying the Batmobile.
Batmobile, man, $3.1 million.
I'm so jealous,
man.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I was just watching The Dark Knight last night. Ah, gotta be excited.
The Tumbler. Top 5 movie of all time, right there, The Dark Knight.
It's hard to rank movies, but it's a good movie.
I love it. It's definitely one of my favorites. It's up there with Goodfellas and The Godfather too. I don't know. I love it. I could watch it anytime. I might watch it again tonight. I don't know.
You might want to edit the show first, or get some sleep and then edit before you go in and watch The Dark Knight.
I'm definitely going to edit the show first. Finally got like a little break in the schedule today or tonight. Arizona Cardinals at the LA Rams. Rams here by 6 points. This is the Saturday night game. Last one for Saturday night, over under 48.5. This has not moved around too much. Cardinals have looked like shit the last few weeks.
Yeah, they've looked like shit. They don't have anything to play for now that they're out of the playoffs. 6 points still seems like a lot for a divisional game. That's
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I believe it was back in week 3 or 4, Arizona beat these guys, what, like 41-10? I mean, just whipped them.
Was it?
Kyler Murray, though, I mean, where's his focus going to be? I think Gannon, the coach there, will get these guys up for the game. I'm going to take the Cardinals +6. I don't feel confident in it, but that's just a lot of points for a divisional game. Hopefully they show up. If not, the Rams might blow them out, but 6, yeah. 6 in a divisional, I'll take the Cardinals. Not confident in it, though.
This is a stay away.
Yeah, I hate to do a stay away like Rome's saying, but yeah, I feel it's a stay away. If anything, I'd favor the Rams in this, but the Cardinals, they could put up something, you know, because it means nothing. They could be the team like your guys on a fantasy league right now where they put up a huge game as soon as your team's eliminated from the playoffs. You know, that's what the Cardinals could put up this week.
Did one of your teams do that, Jason? Because you sound like you're speaking from experience there.
Yes.
The fantasy team. Okay. That's what I thought you were going with this.
Yes. It depends which one of the 4 or 5 leagues I'm in, though. So
you're in that many leagues?
I'm in 5 leagues, yeah.
God damn it.
I'm in one league. I'm in the championship right now, and I do have too many Bears on that team that did not put up a lot of points tonight. But, you know, luckily I had the Ravens defense and Mark Andrews on that team too, so I'm still looking pretty good. But
pretty good game.
Yeah, but all in all, you know, I have a 70% chance to win that game. I'm going to lose. But anyways, I will stay away on this game, so you can put if you're my official pick, Rome. But if you had to make me pick, I would take the Rams just because they need to lock up this division with this game.
-6 or just Rams money line straight up?
I would cop out and go Rams money line. 6.5 is too many points.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, stay away. I've done this so many times. Murray has
you've done that plenty of times too.
Murray
man.
Has screwed me. But I don't know. Yeah, you know. They might pull off an upset. I don't know.
Seattle's hoping they do.
Yeah, Seattle is hoping. All right, on to the Sunday games. Jets at the Bills. Bills heavily favored, -10, 46.5, over under. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Bills laid a little bit of a stinker last week against the Patriots. I don't see them doing that again. I think they're going to roll here. I'll take the Bills -11. Josh Allen knows he has to have a big game now to stay that MVP, keep it Rodgers, Jets going on the road. It's going to be cold. They're not going to play very well. Rodgers has got a bruised knee, ankle. He's not moving well.
Oh, really?
Maybe he gets past number 500, but I like the Bills minus 11. I would take them on the side here.
The Bills are going to probably make me look dumb because I picked them to cover the big spread last week and they didn't. I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go the Jets. The Jets have kept every game close since that debacle in Arizona a couple weeks ago. And when you're giving them that many, this many points, there's still a good team somewhere within that Jets team. If you're saying 11 and a half is what you're saying this is at right now?
You got 11 and a half, Aaron?
11. I got 11.
Oh, wow.
11? Okay. Well, I got 10. You got 10?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Let me see where this
I see
that.
9.5 on ESPN.
I see 9 right on my okay, so one this thing's site all, that I use.
This thing's all over the place. I still think the Jets keep it close. I'm going to go off of ESPN's plus 9.5. I'll take the Jets.
Jason, you kind of talked me into it. Can't do a money line here. This would be like probably like a parlay, like Chargers and this game. But I do like that Jets 9.5. They have been playing competitive at least.
And that's why I'm going the opposite of that. The Jets have been playing competitive. That's the problem. So they're due for a stinker. And the Bills just had their worst game of the year, arguably, against the Patriots, who played, like Jason mentioned earlier, like above par.
Maybe.
Cook, I think, has a big game. If it's 9, I like the Bills even more. 11 was a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'll gladly lose that game if you tell me Cook has a big game because
he's gonna have two TDs. Cook's gonna have two TDs.
You know, Cook's one of my fantasy running backs in like every league, so I'll take
prop that. Bet there for anybody who wants it. Take Cook to score anytime touchdown. Yes, he will have two touchdowns, I believe, in this game.
Cook two TDs. I got it down, man. Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Bucks. A must win for the Bucks. Favored by 8, 49.5. Tempting over under. 49.5. That's really tempting.
49.5 over under is high. 8 points is a lot for this game, but the Buccaneers were embarrassed on Sunday night against the Cowboys.
Embarrassed, man.
They're going to get this win. We're going to get to the other game later, but the Falcons are going to lose. I'm going to take Tampa minus 8. They're going to do good here. They're going to run the ball all over Carolina. They're going to blitz a lot young. Similar defensive game plan that you saw from the Cowboys 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
I like the Bucs minus 8 over the Panthers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I see ESPN.com has them at 7.5 for the Bucs. So if 7.5's on the table, I'm going to take the Bucs 7.5. They really need this game, the embarrassment you're talking through. While Bryce Young has looked better as we've talked through the entire season, overall, the guy's only thrown for 1,900 yards. He has 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Huh. So the narrative that, you know, he's looked better, and the media has too. There's even some, I don't want to bring this back to the Bears, but
the
there's
some, eye test, though, man. He's looking pretty good.
He's looking good on the eye test. However, yeah. 9 interceptions, 10 touchdowns, it has not been great. And you're talking with Baker, this offense can put up points with the best of them, you know. The Panthers defense has given up points in a lot of these games recently. I like the Buccaneers to get that 7.5.
If your last name is not Williams, Jace is going to shit on you. That's for sure.
I'm not shitting on the poor guy. I'm just saying, man. I'm going to defend Caleb for everyone saying it's better than him. Right?
Well, I mean, Caleb and Young are always going to kind of be tied at the hip, right?
Yeah.
Because that Bears basically traded him away to fall into the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. So,
yeah. I don't like this game. I don't like it at all.
Rome, you've been kissing Baker's ass and Tampa's ass all year. Just jump on the bandwagon with me and Jason and ride it to a victory, man. Just do it. Don't be scared here.
I do like him to win, but 8's a lot. 8's a lot.
Well, ESPN Bet's got 7.5 right now, so you take the 7.5.
That's a lot. I will take the over, though.
By the time we get to the end of this, Aaron, is it over under 8 of Rome's stayaways out of this total slate right now?
Don't know.
I've lost count. I don't know if I have enough fingers to count.
I only got one stayaway so far. Well, two if this sticks. Assholes. Colts at the Giants. Colts favored by 8 on the road. Over under 40.5. Who you guys got?
Giants have no reason to win. They're locked in as the one. I don't even think they have a healthy quarterback. Their defense is supposedly be their only bright spot. They're not going to show up here. Colts, they're going to run all over them. I'm going to take the Colts laying the 8 points here. They'll win by 10 or more. Give me the Colts. Giants lock up the number one pick in the draft.
Another spread that I see down from 8 to 7.5 on ESPN Bet, according to this line. I agree with Aaron. Take the Colts 7.5. Giants have gotten blown out the last two games. Again, no idea who the quarterback's going to be. The Giants cannot score points. They're 0-8 at home this year. They're going to go 0-9.
Yeah, Locke will lock that up for them. So going for the Colts as well. I have a feeling that might be... Richardson might have a good game. He'll have a good game. Dallas Cowboys at the Eagles. Eagles favored by 9 points. I think this is pretty high.
Cowboys gone down to 7.
Down to 7. You guys got down to 7?
Yeah, because yep. Hurts is probably out. CeeDee Lamb is out officially for the Cowboys for the rest of the season.
All right, let's go with minus 7. Over under 43.5. Not too crazy. What did you guys lean? A
lot of question marks coming in this game. Jalen Hurts hasn't been cleared to practice yet. A.J. Brown's a bit banged up. CeeDee's out for Dallas. Eagles are going to win. 7 points is a lot. If I had to take a side, I would take Eagles laying the 7 points. Their defense I'm a lot more confident in than Dallas, even though I just don't trust it. I wouldn't bet a side in this game. I would do a famous parlay. Eagles would be tied to the Rams and probably some other teams that are in must-win situations. But if I had to take a side, I'd take the Eagles minus 7.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with it, Aaron. This is a stay away from me. If you're talking to me, pick a side. It's definitely an Eagles money line bet, and you can parlay it with some others. Where I would lean, if you really wanted to take 7 points one way or the other, it probably would be the Cowboys, because over the last month and a half, the Cowboys haven't been, you know, they've won two games. Even the losses are 7 or
they're covering,
you know, closer in a lot of these games. So the Cowboys are covering. Now that's CeeDee Lamb. I don't know. You know, Cooper Rush is losing a big security blanket there. He's gotten the other guys involved. They've done some okay things in the run game. I think that is probably what's the thing swaying me with Aaron's talking about. But without Jalen Hurts, that's another big thing. So can I don't know if Saquon's going to be able to do everything by himself with Kenny Pickett under center. You know, probably a big reason they didn't win this game last week is what, you know, Kenny Pickett not being able to, you know, score some points down the second half of that game.
Yeah, he was decent.
He was decent. But
pretty good.
Yeah, but from a covering standpoint, the Cowboys have been competitive, man. This is a team that has not quit. Generally, it's been a quiet year for the Cowboys. We haven't talked about them because they were out early, but they've been persevering down the stretch and winning some games that most people thought they should have got blown out in.
Yeah, I definitely got Dallas with the 7. Still got the Eagles winning, but Dallas covers for sure. I mean,
Dallas without CeeDee, that worries me. But this is a team that hasn't quit, like you said. They've been playing really well, and they've been playing hard for Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
so. They've got a lot to play for, and the Eagles coming off a disappointing loss. They look like they're all but dialed in as that 2 seed. So, but they want to go into the playoffs with some momentum, man. I mean, Sirianni just had another dust up of an old player, ex-player.
Oh, yeah. What happened with that? I saw that.
I don't know, man. But
I didn't
like
read
I
up
said,
so much of it yet.
Like I said, man, there's just so much dysfunction over there. It's amazing that this team is, 12-3 right now?
It's weird, man. It's weird. All right. The Raiders at the Saints. God, could you pick a better matchup for Sunday afternoon? 39.5 over under.
Well, this is still Sunday morning at 10 a.m. This is a stay away watch game with me. I don't think I would be.
It's not on the TV, ML.
I mean,
sure.
there's some bad games here this morning, Slater, some bad teams, but
it's
this
bad.
This is bad. It's opened at -2.5 for the Saints. It's now +1 on the Saints. So we're basically kind of at a pick 'em. This feels like a game the Raiders are going to win just to screw themselves over for a draft pick.
I'm leaning on the Raiders as well.
I'm going to take the Saints. You give me a home team as a home dog. They look, they've the first team shut out all year on Monday night against the Packers. Raiders just came off a win against the Jags, who Jason was telling every family member and friend to take. So I think the Raiders, now this week he's going to tell everybody to take the Raiders, so the Saints are going to win. I'm going to take the Saints here as a home dog.
Wow, throw me under the bus. I did tell you Brian Thomas was the key in that game, and he just couldn't do it all himself.
Aaron's taking shots today.
Yeah, taking shots, man.
Feeling feisty.
Roof, roof.
Tennessee Titans at the Jags. Another pick 'em. I got Jags slightly favored 1 point over under 40.5.
Yeah, I agree, man. I'm going to take the Jags home team here. Mac Jones, man. He's going to – and Jason's guy, Thomas, Brian Thomas. They're going to ball out. I'll take the Jags here against the Titans.
I'm agreement with Aaron.
Yeah, why not? I'm not going to watch this game. You guys are going to make fun of me if I say stay away again.
I mean, this is a game you just got to pick, man. It's 2-3-12 teams in the AFC South. I mean, this is really a Thursday night special back in the day on the NFL Network.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins, 6.5-point favorites against the Browns, over under 40.5. The Winston magic has died. You know what? I'm going for an upset here. Browns win.
I like the Browns to cover. I don't know if I get the upset here, but 6.5 is a lot of points. The Browns defense plays well at home. Dolphins defense played pretty well last week against the 49ers, but the ground game still a bit shaky. Their defensive ground attack. So I'm going to take the Browns 6.5, but I like the call on the upset. This is a potential upset for sure, Rome. I agree. DTR, maybe he can get his first, I guess maybe second career victory under center.
Yeah, initially, I've been high on the Dolphins all year, and they've been a big disappointment. I picked them last week. Rome laughed at me, notably, when I picked them over the 49ers, and they did come through with the victory. Yeah, Rome, you can go back, check the tape. You laughing at me for picking the Dolphins. But the Dolphins worry me anytime they travel north. So I had to pull up the old iPhone and look at the conditions in Cleveland on Sunday.
What is it?
It's going to be 48 degrees high with an 85% chance of rain. So,
it's going to be an ugly game.
It's going to be ugly. I think that's way too many points for an ugly game. I will lean the Dolphins have way more to play for and need the win, but 6.5 points is a lot when you're talking neither quarterback's going to be able to probably throw the ball very well. And Tua and that Dolphin offense has been terrible anytime they go north of the Mason-Dixon line.
So, who you got? I'm sorry.
I will take the Browns plus 6.5, but the Dolphins, if you're going to just pick a winner, I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Oh, wow. Aaron's Green Bay Packers against the Vikings, heavyweight matchup in your guys' quote-unquote best division in football. Vikings 1.5-point favorites, over under 48.5. This is going to be a good fucking game, man. I'm going to bust out some ice cold Miller highlights for this one.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, you mentioned it. Best division in football. The records speak for themselves and the quality of play of these two teams. Yeah, the Packers are my team, but I'm going to take the Vikings on Sunday.
The
Vikings, I like the way Darnold's playing. He's not turning the ball over. I mentioned over the last five games, 15 TDs, one interception. They do enough here to beat the Packers. I'm taking the Vikings.
Wow.
Wow, a lot of agreement between me and Aaron this week, but I'm gonna agree and take the Vikings as well. Man, looking back to the last couple Vikings games, they've just gotten better and better. Where you thought in the middle of the year where Darnold was gonna start to regress, and now they found another gear. As good as the Packers have looked recently as well, and a lot of people are like, hey, this is a dark horse in the NFC. The Lions are getting hurt.
I'm still not convinced.
I'm still not convinced with Jordan Love and some of the time too, but at the Vikings, there's something there, and them in these one score games this year where it's been close. Like, this is a team that's got a little bit of a destiny to kind of feel around them too, and they're still in line potentially for the first overall seed. So they need this game, a little bit more than the Packers. I want to say a ton more, but I like the Vikings as well.
Huh. Yeah, I'll agree with you guys. I want to pick the Packers to win, but I don't know. Something's telling me not to. Sunday night, Falcons against the Commanders, Jason's favorite team. Commanders favored by 4 points, over under 47.5. That's interesting.
Yeah, big game for both teams here. Rome, Falcons need to continue to win to win that division. And Commanders, what are they locked in right now? I believe as a seventh, maybe an outside shot at the sixth, depending on how they finish out the season in the Packers. I like the Commanders here, -4. Penix Jr., he's getting the start, but this is his first road start and his first start against a really good team, quality-wise, record-wise. I mean, he played against the Giants last week.
And it's been magic in D.C.
Yeah, and I think just Jaden Daniels' opportunity to wrap up Rookie of the Year, big game, home game, before they go on the road against Dallas. I like the Commanders here, -4.
I'm going to agree with Aaron as well. There is some magic in this team as well, too. They're going to be at home. The Commanders have been good at home all year. The Falcons just, I don't even know what you're going to get them from a week-to-week standpoint. As Aaron talked about, Penix's first real, you know, competitive team he's going to play, even though that Giants defense wasn't terrible. They really leaned with Bijan last week. Don't know if you're going to have that same opportunity with the Commanders defense that's a little bit better. I'll take the Commanders as well, -4.
All right, and then last game for Week 17, Monday night, Detroit Lions, -3.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. I would imagine this would have been a lot larger of a spread. Over-under still pretty high, 51.5. Do you think, like, Vegas is thinking, like, I don't know, Purdy and the guys are going to be playing for some self-pride, some self-respect here? Like, it's... I would imagine it would be at least like a 6-point advantage.
My power rankings have it at 6. I think they should be favored by 7. Detroit's going to roll the 49ers. The 49ers gave up in Miami. They're going to get rolled here. Detroit's got a lot to play for.
Jason mentioned
they got to continue to win to keep that number one seed for that showdown with the Vikings coming up on week 18.
Yeah.
At home for the division, for the number one seed.
Number one, possibly.
They lost the NFC Championship game here. Detroit keeps receipts. They're going to pound the Niners. This is the lock of the week, lock of the year to close out the year. Give me the Lions -3.5.
Aaron's right. The biggest liability for Detroit right now is that defense, but the San Francisco offense has been no prize because they've had injuries of their own on the offensive side of the ball. And yeah, like Aaron said, this team keeps receipts. Dan Campbell, man, he's going to keep that offense out there probably longer than they have to be. The weather conditions is going to be wet up by you, Rome, in San Francisco all week through Sunday. But then Monday it's going to dry out according to the forecast right now. That plays into the Lions' advantage. I like the Lions as well.
I'm actually wet right now. I didn't get a chance to change my pants walking in the rain back home. Pretty rainy.
Okay, we're talking about rain. Okay, just want to make sure.
I thought these NFL lines got you that way, but okay, that's good.
Not this week. I got Lions. It could be a blowout. You never know. I want to go to the game. Monday night, I'll have my daughter.
Sounds like a good daddy-daughter date night, you know, over at the old Levi Stadium.
Not if it's raining. It's going to be miserable. No fiber wants to
stay. Jason just gave you the forecast.
Yeah.
He just gave you the forecast, man. Dry.
We'll see how it goes. Any other takes for the week? Week 17? Nada.
Nada.
You guys want to talk about some NBA basketball Christmas games?
We kind of did already, didn't we?
Not on the podcast, just offline.
Well, we talked about the ratings, I guess, right? We didn't talk about the game.
Yeah. That's right. We don't have to.
I mean, Jason already said he didn't watch any of the games.
Yeah.
I know. I got Jesus. I heard the Lakers game was good. That's what I heard. You know,
I watched like three quarters of that game.
Celtics game was good.
Saw a quarter and a half Wolves. Of like Dallas try to come back. Did not see any of the Knicks, Spurs. Did not see any of the Suns.
Like that game,
I didn't see any of the Suns Nuggets.
I didn't watch that game.
Did watch the last 2 minutes of the Celtics Sixers where they tried to come back on 11-0 run in the final like 3 minutes to make that interesting.
Yeah.
But that's all I saw of NBA.
I was watching that game with a couple East Coast people. They're all Celtics and Pats fans. So that was interesting. All right. Cool, man. Quick pod. Lines are done. Jay?
Lines are done for pro football, but you got some college football bowl games this weekend. So I'll be at the Holiday Bowl tomorrow. You got
so who's your Holiday Bowl winner?
We got the Syracuse Orange minus 18 versus Washington State Cougars.
Well, Washington State doesn't have their quarterback or their coach, so that's probably why.
Yep, so I'm going to take Syracuse minus 18. It's going to be a blowout down in San Diego.
Take the nice holiday.
I'll take the over 57.5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, why not? Any other bowl games you guys are going to catch this weekend?
I mean, I won't be able to see it, but you do got a USC versus Texas A&M. That could be a pretty interesting bowl game.
That's at the Vegas Bowl. Night. Yeah,
so that's a pretty good one tomorrow night as well.
I'll check that out.
On Saturday, Rome, you got your Cornhuskers minus 4 against Boston College. Yeah, 9 a.m. early bowl game. So I think that would be a good one to check out potentially. You got Colorado versus BYU. So you got a Big 12
championship game there.
Yeah, basically. At that point, they're going to show out. So I don't. They don't do many like interdivision conference in a bowl game type thing. So that's an interesting matchup that you'll have there.
I watched the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Did you watch it? No,
it's coming up.
Okay, so you can see that Pop-Tart trophy.
I looked it up after you guys told me about it, and I've been craving Pop-Tarts since then. Like, I had a dream about a Pop-Tart the other day. It was kind of weird.
That's a weird dream, but
yeah, that is.
Pop-Tarts are great. I don't know about dream-worthy, but, you know, still great.
I was hanging out, like, this weird, like, Simpson-looking world, and, like, the Pop-Tart was, like, talking to me, making me a Pop-Tart.
You're watching the Simpsons, like, donut games with Burrow and the
That's what I was going to ask. Wasn't there just a football game or basketball? Did they do a basketball game like that this weekend, too, with something I thought I heard?
The basketball one was pretty cool. It was with Goofy and Disney. It was a lot better. The Simpson one was not that good, in my opinion. I wouldn't want my kids watching that anyways. I don't know.
All right, well, the Pop-Tart Bowl, you got Iowa State versus Miami down at Camping World Stadium down in Orlando. Good. So that should be good. Miami, be good. Obviously it's huge
Miami's,
disappointment.
Oh, Miami's going to destroy Iowa State.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Miami's going to destroy them.
Okay.
Or you can check out the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl with Miami of Ohio and Colorado State out in Tucson this weekend as well, too. Snoop Dogg's got his own bowl.
Really?
He's always got his own bowl, man. Always.
It's not popping up on my list right now. And then Monday in the Music City Bowl. So now we're getting to like the good bowl games, I guess.
Yeah, you'll get to that. It'll really be Monday's pod. We'll review the next round of the college football playoff because you'll have Yeah, you'll have those games coming up. You do got Alabama, Michigan, non playoff, but that's out in
Tuesday.
Tampa on Tuesday, so that'll be good.
I hope Michigan wins, man. I'll be so excited.
It would support my anti SEC arguments.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Over under is only 43. 12.5 point spread, though. That's a lot. I don't know. I mean, I did see Michigan does have a few guys declared for the NFL draft, so I doubt they're going to play in this game.
Yeah, they're top defensive tackle, and I think one of the linebackers. I don't know. All right. I guess we'll talk college, some bowl games when we get back Monday night after that Lions-Niners. That'll do it.